T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
As advertised, this Yankee Report with Sweeney Murdy is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Interstate Batteries, every battery for every need. And by Wallauer's Paint and Design. Wallauer Paint and Design, celebrating 100 years. Visit shop.wallauer.com. Sweeney, where have you been?
Well, you don't write, you don't call. Was I supposed to call you at home? Is that what you were trying to get me to
Yes.
do right before the break?
I almost, yes, you could call me at home. Well, we do a few emails every now and then, don't we?
Every time I see a picture of Willie McCovey anywhere on Twitter, I have to send it to you.
And lining out to Bobby Richardson is really what you want to send me.
It's either that or a Jim Hill sighting. That's always good too. Love inside jokes?
When you are going through a quarantine, then inside jokes is the only thing you can have.
Yeah. Yes, I miss seeing you. I'm glad I get to hear you.
Yeah, same here, of course, and I hope I could see you before too very long to begin with. In the kitchen here is I now tell people that I don't have to drive to work, don't have to drive home. I now tell people I get 3 weeks to a gallon of gas. let me ask you, what are
that's the first time
Yankees,
you've used that? I'll bet.
No, it's about the fourth time. What? But at 3 o'clock in the morning, I think there's a little bit of a different audience. Let me ask you about what are the Yankees going to do, if anything, at the moment, regarding the situation with Torres at shortstop.
Well, I mean, they're going to keep throwing him out there. I mean, that's what they're going to do. They're going to keep working. You know, it's not for lack of working with him. Mm-hmm. Carlos Mendoza is the bench coach. He's also the infield coach, and he spent a lot of time the last couple of years. You know, if you've been watching, this is not a new issue for Gleyber Torres. It's getting a lot more attention, though, now, because the Yankees are in a window where, you know, they have had championship caliber team that hasn't won a championship. So, you know, he doesn't get the benefit of that. Plus, you are at a real crucial point here where the Yankees don't have the best infield defense, and they've moved some pieces around. They can still do some more, but with the stellar free agent shortstop class coming up here, the Yankees are really in decision mode here. Every day is just kind of, you know, more information to the idea of, is Gleyber Torres the shortstop for the future, or is Corey Seager or Carlos Correa or Trevor Story or Javi Baez. Mm-hmm. We know it's not Francisco Lindor. That was taken off the table. But this is all information now. And, you know, it's up to Gleyber Torres to change the Yankees' mind on this, because if you're going off the information you have now, Gleyber Torres is not your long-term answer at shortstop. He has the ability. And listen, Steve, I hate to make a lot out of small samples. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about defense, this is not a small sample, because right. You know, you're talking about 10 or 15 or 20 at bats, or even 40 at bats at the beginning of a season. Mm-hmm. I can use a small sample argument, but I've seen Gleyber Torres play defense for the last couple of years, and it's not gotten appreciably better. Now, this is not an overall, hey, Gleyber Torres stinks, need to get rid of him. On the contrary, he is a phenomenal offensive player. He's just not playing a position well enough for you to keep him in that position if you want to be a championship team, in my opinion. And there are options available to you, so you have to make the decision, okay, am I sticking with this or do I have to make one of these other moves? It probably would not be as big a decision or discussion if you didn't have this massive free agent class coming out.
Yeah, sure. Well, let me ask you this. If they were to do something from within, now, no one would think Tyler Wade, you know, he's not an everyday shortstop. He's a good utility guy. He could be a pinch runner, et cetera, fill in when somebody is taking a rest. We understand from all of that. But if the Yankees were to do something now, in the very near future, because you're right, it's only six games into the season, and he has really yet to get hot with the hitting, which could really make us put up a little bit better with any defensive liabilities. But if the Yankees were going to do something more sooner than later, what would you think they could do from within?
Well, I don't think there's anything to do from within. I think to do within is play Gleyber Torres as shortstop, and that's it.
You know, and not shift anyone around.
No. He's not a butcher out there, Steve. It's just that he is making some plays that, you know, he's had a handful of plays in these first six games that just make you question the long-term future here. Mm-hmm. Can you win with him at shortstop? Maybe. But it also is really, that depends on how well he hits, too. And that's a big component here as to what to do with Gleyber Torres, because what you don't want is for him to take defensive troubles to the plate. Right. If he's sacrificing offense because he's so worried about the defense and it's affecting him mentally, well, that's when you have a real problem. And that's where the small sample size comes in. I can't pin his offensive struggles on anything yet because it's only been a week. If you tell me we're at the end of May and he's hitting 230 with four home runs, now all of a sudden we've got an issue. And that's when you have to start thinking about, okay, of the free agent guys that I mentioned, Trevor Story is likely the only one that could be made available in a trade. I think the other teams are contending teams throughout the course of the year. There's a guy who I know that there are people in the Yankees organization who have they've had an eye on because they like the player. Mm-hmm. There's not necessarily a fit, but also because there's so many people in the Marlins organization that are from the Yankees that I know, like Miguel Rojas. And, you know, you saw him, if you watched the Mets and Marlins, you saw a little bit of him. Right. And if you watched Mets and Marlins, you've seen him a lot because, you know, they play each other a lot. But that's a guy who might be an interesting midseason. If you're forced, and again, there are some moving pieces here because of waiting for Voit to come back and if anybody else gets hurt, those kinds of things. But if you are in the market for a shortstop, let's say Urshela or Voit is an injury situation that you have to maybe move DJ LeMahieu, and you have the ability to move Torres to second and have a need for a shortstop. Well, that's a name I would keep in mind, but I don't think that's something that is imminent or urgent at this point. To me, it's just keeping an eye on Gleyber Torres because, you know, he has the ability to show you that he's better than he is now. He has to show you he's better than he is now, or your decision process in November is going to be different. And, you know, it's too hard, too many variables to put into what could happen this season. But right now, he's telling you that you're probably going to look for one of those free agents in November.
Mm-hmm. When is Voit coming back?
Voit sometime in May, I think, is the target. Haven't gotten an update on him recently. See, you know, how if he's doing anything yet. Mm-hmm. But that was the meniscus. I forget how long he's inactive. I think it was 3 weeks inactive before he starts ramping up again. So you know, we'll see. I would think in the next week or so we'll get another update on him and see how he progresses.
Judge did not play in the last couple of preseason games, and here 10 seconds into the season, Sweeney, he's on the outside looking in again. What's going on with him?
Well, you always have reason to be skeptical. I understand that. I don't know that I don't believe, and I could be wrong, that what happened at the end of spring is related to now. I can't prove that, but it's just based, you know, it's based on, you know, just kind of what's out there. And I understand if you're skeptical with what's out there because of how the injuries have looked and been treated in the past. But I also watched him play, you know, several days on the homestand and play very well. So if there was something bothering him from the end of spring training, it probably would have showed up in these first few games. So I would have to believe, take at face value, that this is something new, that this is not. He had played, if you remember right, before playing in the before not playing those games at the end of spring, he played 5 out of 6 days. Which is a pretty good workload at the end of spring training. So he played 5 out of 6 days. They were giving him 2 days off, and that just from playing games. That doesn't mean he like sits at home and, you know, puts his feet up. They come in, they do all their work, and they take their BP and do all their defensive work and everything else. They just don't play in the games. So he was getting 2 games off, and then the third one was off because he was under the weather. So I don't believe it's related to now. We'll see how he, you know, if he's in the lineup tomorrow. I do believe my own thought right now is that he's only going to play 2 of these 3 games if he's okay against the Rays, because even though there's no day after night game situation, it's 3 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock. He does have a hard time on that turf in Tampa. And it was related to shoes he was wearing, and he said he would fix that, but I still would think, you know, given that you are, you're coming off of what you're coming off of right now and the history he's had with turf in Tampa, I would think, you know, 2 out of 3 these 3 games makes sense.
And
if,
of course,
if he's good enough to go, and we'll find out, you know, in about 12 hours or so.
Okay. So it is possible that he's, going to play against the Rays, and you know that all Yankee fans hold their breath, Sweeney, with Stanton, because he too, he's not on the field often enough either.
Hasn't been, but you know, there's nothing to worry about with him right now. I mean, now you just worry that he was striking out or not hitting. Again, that's going to be small sample at this point. Listen, there's good reason, because they haven't taken the field. This is what this team needs to do, Steve. The next man up is a nice story, but the stars have to play. If you want to be a championship team, your stars play, and your stars play a lot. The 2009 Yankees had 8 players who had at least 500 plate appearances. The last full season the Yankees had 2 years ago, they had 4 players who made 500 plate appearances. It was the whole next man up was a great story, but your stars are the ones. There's a rhythm to a season, and you get through the beginning, you get through the middle, you get to the end, and the guys who had 500 and 600 bats, they're ready for October. It's different than having guys injured and having them come back to for October when these are your main players. It's just a different thing. We've seen it countless times with players over the years, and when the Yankees had a bunch of them at once, it's shown up. Even with all that, they're still a very good team at the end of the year with those players, and have, you know, lost by small margins. You know, they lost in a game 5 to the Rays last year with the American League champs. So it's competitive, and there are margins. And last year was a wacky season anyway. But if you're going to look at this team and say, yes, they have a chance to win, it's about getting their stars 500-600 plate appearances and getting them to put up good numbers and career type numbers for players who maybe haven't been so far. You know, somebody like Aaron Hicks, you'd have to say this is the best year of his career. That's the kind of thing that takes you to a team and say that's a championship caliber team. Judge and Stanton stay on the field for, you know, let's say 130, I would call a win. You get 130 games out of both of those guys, that's a win to me. Sanchez bounces back. All of these things kind of have to move in the right direction. Now, they don't all have to work out. I mean, you know, you might have somebody have a little bit of a down year, but when you're thinking about championship teams, you've got guys who have good years at the end of the year, and that's what the Yankees need, and they have to get over this hump with the injuries, which haven't been devastating so far, to be honest. I understand the skepticism with Judge, but they haven't suffered anything really devastating yet.
Sanchez off to the good start. He's got a couple of home runs. He caught Cole opening day, but we didn't see him catch Cole in his second appearance. It was Sanchez catching Cole opening day, about the only time we're going to see that kind of battery.
I don't know about the only time, but I think it was an important confidence boost for Gary Sanchez. I think it was a reward for the work that they feel he put in. You know, they've talked about, you know, how he came into camp and how he looked in camp, and I thought it was a pretty good thing to make that gesture to him, say, you know, because remember, you know, if you say on February 10th, Kyle Higashioka is catching Gerrit Cole every single game, No doubt, no ifs, ands, or buts. Mm-hmm. And Sanchez doesn't work with Cole during the spring because of that, and then Higashioka gets hurt. And all of a sudden, you're forcing this thing in there, and there's an awkwardness to it. It's a very smart play to not make that commitment, at least outwardly. You know, you've got to give Gary Sanchez the ability to do that, and they did during spring. I thought starting him opening day against Cole was a good reward to have him in the lineup and put a little confidence and a little boost in there for what they believe is still in there. Now going forward, guess what? Sanchez plays a few days in a row. Oh, Garrett Cole's pitching. We're going to have Higashioka catch today. It's a day game after a night game. Garrett Cole's pitching. We're going to have Higashioka catch today. It's easy to keep saying that and have it happen without just flat out saying this isn't going to happen. You still need to manage the room and manage the egos a little bit and work with the personality. And my own personal feeling is that's what they did giving Sanchez the opening day start.
In game three with the Orioles, did we see Sanchez turn a double into a single?
I got to tell you, Steve, I think if he had tried to turn that single into a double, he would have
been out.
Yeah. I honestly believe that he was out. He was out if he was, because let's face it, even if he's hustling, watch how that play happened. You know, mm-hmm. It was a bad play on the reach, but then Mountcastle, yeah. He recovered quickly and got the ball in.
Yeah,
it wasn't bouncing around on the warning track, waiting for a triple. That ball. My own belief, and I don't think I've watched mm-hmm. it more than once, but mm-hmm. watching it live, I really believe that if he had tried for second, and I understand that he was slow out of the box, but even if he had not been slow out of the box, I think if mm-hmm. he tried for second, he was out.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what has been one of the more surprising things that we have seen, and I didn't think I would ever see this in my lifetime. But in that opening series against Toronto, did we not see Sanchez beat out an infield hit?
yeah. And, you know, it's, listen, he wasn't, he's not, you know, going to be, you know, Vince Coleman or Ricky Henderson or anybody like that. Let's never make that mistake, okay? Sanchez's value to this team is if he is going to hit home runs and if he's going to stay on the field. And if he stays on the field, he's going to hit home runs. I did see, and I can't remember which game it was now. I got to go back and think about it. But mm-hmm. there were a couple of really good low strike calls that he was mm-hmm. getting, and I forget which pitcher it was for. I think we get so caught up, Steve, in beating up Sanchez every time there is a mm-hmm. wild pitch or a pass ball, mm-hmm. Or he hits into a double play or strikes out, and that happens a lot, you know, because it just happens. But I don't think we're willing to credit him when things go well. The pitching staff has been outstanding. That's for the first six games, right? There's a little bit of credit of that goes to the catcher always. And I think there's some, you know, value in just saying, hey, Gary Sanchez has done a good job with that. Has there been anything about his defense? I know he threw the one ball away on the stolen base. Mm-hmm. And I think there was one other one that got away, but I mean, really, has the spotlight shined brightly on Sanchez's defense so far? Probably not. And, you know, for my opinion, in this particular point in the season, that's a lot like judging umpires. If you don't notice them, then they're probably doing a good job.
I know he had a pretty good spring, and we were hearing things like, you know, he lifts that left leg in the batter's box, and some of the coaches telling him to lift that. His hitting coach, lift that left leg a little bit sooner and get the bat off your shoulder a little bit quicker. And that would help him offensively after hitting 147 a year ago with, what, 6-7 home runs, whatever it was.
10, actually, I believe.
Yeah. Well, how many? Was
I think
it 10?
10, yeah.
That many?
Yeah.
And, but the bottom line is, so maybe those kinds of, you know, with your mechanics and your approach, you know, will help him hitting. I know he's only hitting around 200. And again, as you pointed out, the most important thing with him is hitting home runs and driving in runs. And and staying on the field. Yeah, he's about so far. I mean, he doesn't look any different with his stance behind home plate. He still looks to be the same there. And maybe some of those wild pitches could have been prevented, as you kind of allude to. But maybe in spring training when he was hitting and looking very good with that left leg, reminds me of like softball players, you know, who love to do that with the left leg. They lift it up as they're about to swing. Well, now he's lifting that leg up a little bit sooner, say the coaches, and he's getting that bat off the shoulder and getting ready to hit, and he's making some contact. So maybe that will all translate into a very good offensive season for him, and Yankee fans would love that.
The leg kick is a timing mechanism, and he's pretty reliant on the leg kick. So I think it's if he is out of sync just a little bit, it's obviously going to wreck the timing of the swing, and trying to get that back sometimes can be difficult for somebody who has that leg kick as part of, if you think, I mean, this is going back ages now, right? But, if you go back 30 years from the left side, Daryl Strawberry was always a big leg kick guy, right?
Yep.
And he was always described as a streaky hitter. Well, I don't know if there's any way around being a streaky hitter if you're going to have a leg kick like that. Now, if it's going to, if it's right and it's timed up right and it's going to lead to maximum production when that's happening, well, then, that's the reason to keep it. But I do think, just my amateur eye watching those, it feels like that's easy enough sometimes. When it gets out of sync, it's hard to get it back. And you kind of have to live and die with the hot and cold streaks with somebody who is using a leg kick as a timing mechanism like that.
Yeah, last year was brutal. I mean, as you know, his at-bats were just the worst looking, flailing about.
Well, and there's confidence involved in there, too. Well, you start out bad. Maybe it's just starting out bad, but then you start trying to force it, and then your leg kick and your mechanics are all out of whack, and now you are flailing because now it's just all in your head. And the strongest athletes, strongest baseball players mentally can still drag themselves down when they're in a slump, and when you're in a 60 game slump, you can't sit there and say I've got 4 months to dig myself out of this, which is what happens in a season. And a lot of players went through that last year.
All right, before I let you go, Odor, what's the point in getting somebody who hasn't had a game, hasn't been any kind of a player at all over the last couple of seasons? And number two, I failed to ask you before when I was thinking about with the injuries, about Zach Britton. Is he ahead of schedule? Is he at this point looking to be back in the bullpen more sooner than later, Sweeney?
Britton's on the 60-day DL, so, I mean, I don't think there's any, there's no, it doesn't really matter what the accelerated or whatever timetable he's on right now. He's down 2 months minimum anyway.
Okay.
So it'll be still a while before we start to think about, him throwing and doing things like that.
Okay. He won't be lost for the season.
No. It was a bone chip, and that was removed. And now he's basically on the same timetable as Seth Lugo for the Mets. It was just the timing of the surgery. So you're just waiting for that. I mean, he's 60-day DL was a roster move they need to make, and now it gives them a time to let him recoup. And they're thinking, I would think June is possible for him.
Okay.
We'll see. Maybe in another month, we'll see where he is and see, if that's realistic and
before Odor, your thoughts about that. What about Severino? Also around the All-Star break, mid-season, Sweeney?
I don't know if there's a specific spot for Severino where you say this is where you expect him back. And, I think the reason that's good is, like, you don't want, there are guys who've come back from Tommy John surgery in 12 months, right? That used to be a thing. But now it seems like people are paying more attention to the, it's 12 to 18 months, and maybe leaning closer towards the 18 is better than trying to push it to 11 or 12. And I think Severino's in this, sweet spot right now where, you can take your time with him a little bit. You don't need to rush him. And maybe the more time you take, he could be back in June, but if he comes back in July, is he going to be a little bit stronger and just a little bit sharper and a little bit better? Mm-hmm. Isn't that worth it? I think that's kind of where you are with him, where you're building him up, and it could be any time, June, July, August. And I don't think it hurts you necessarily to say it's later rather than beginning, because I think the idea is to make sure he's strong enough to pitch for you in October. So I would push that out as far as you need to, because I think you have enough arms to cover in the meantime. As far as Odor.
Yeah, yeah.
I wondered the same thing. I'm like, what does this guy offer? He's a second baseman who, isn't a great defender, has a lot of power, strikes out a lot. I didn't quite see the fit. But as I was asking around, I was told, my assessment was pretty accurate. It wasn't like I was missing something about him as a player. Yeah. But the idea was that when in spring training, he played a lot of third base for the Rangers, and he looked okay there. So think about it now as a guy the Yankees are really not paying any money to at all.
Right.
They didn't give up any real quality prospects to get him. And you're coming off a year where you didn't have any minor leagues, so you really don't have a lot of depth at positions, at outfield and infield positions. Mm. Frankly, I thought outfield depth was not addressed very well in the offseason. And if they have injuries, you'll see. Mm. And if you look at what's at the alternate site, there's not a great play. If there was an injury to Gio Urshela tomorrow that sent him out for a month, you'd be hard-pressed to figure out how you're filling that. And Odor gives them an option now. An injury to DJ LeMahieu would be devastating, right? Well, now at least you have an option that's probably a little better than Derek Dietrich. And it's just trying to find some quality depth because you don't have it right now, and it's basically a free look.
Okay, a final question, then I'll let you go. How impressive last Sunday was Michael King?
Yeah, he was fantastic. And, I think it's a big confidence boost for him to be able to finally put an outing together like that in the big leagues. He got caught in a little numbers game because he was sent down to make room for Justin Wilson, who's coming back for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But he'll be back, and he'll be part of this. The most valuable commodity in the big leagues this year is a pitcher who can throw multiple innings and has minor league options, so you can send him up and down. Michael King fits that, and between him, Jonathan Loaisiga, Nick Nelson, you have some guys here who are very valuable to the Yankees, and even Luis Sessa. I know the Yankee fans are tired of seeing him, but there are a lot of innings that need to be filled. And like Jack Nicholson said in A Few Good Men, who's going to do it? You, Lieutenant Summers. Somebody's got to fill those innings. Sessa does that every once in a while, and those are the kinds of guys that are valuable right now. But getting back to King, this could be a big year for him where he could get 100 innings at the big league level in outings like that and really be a lifesaver for the Yankees.
Sweeney Murty, stay safe and sound and healthy, you and your family. Good to hear the voice. Good to have you on. Good information, as always. Take care of yourself, Sweeney. We'll do it again soon.
I hope so, Steve. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. And the Sweeney Murty Report brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Interstate Batteries, every battery for every need. And by Wallauer's Paint and Design. Wallauer Paint and Design celebrating 100 years. Visit shop.wallauer.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.